Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here we go. Yeah, it might be a while since the Yorkshire Marathon for you listeners, but we're still in the week after it. So
it's our second run after it, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're not going to go too far. What, five?
Four, five. I'm a little bit tired and discombobulated because I got to bed late and up early.
Yep.
She's rare for me.
I'm tired and discombobulated because I drank a load of booze.
Nice. What did you have?
I did Steve Lemack's round table.
Right.
So I went for a drink with him afterwards.
Nice.
Had three pints of Peroni.
Okay.
And stopped off at a pub on the way home.
Of course.
Didn't feel I could just go to the toilet without drinking something. So I had a tequila.
Nice, a quick slammer on your way to the car. So.
And then when I got home, I had a James Bond film with Antonio Vodka Martini.
Nice.
And then
you can't watch Bond without a vodka martini.
I think you can and you should.
Yeah. Into the... Because I sent you a text, didn't I, saying, maybe we can meet a bit later for the podcast in the morning.
Yeah. And you went, yes, I'm drinking right now. That works for me.
So that was good. I was in Eastbourne doing a gig.
Yeah.
And got to... Whoa!
Oh,
hey!
Happy birthday!
Whoa! That was a bit of a... You beat me, I beat you. You beat me, I beat you one.
Yeah, yeah.
As they went in
It was a bit like
directions.
Two cars trying to sing Islands in the Stream.
Yeah, yeah.
Beep, 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 beep. Beep, beep, beep,
it's quite
beep,
nice.
Beep.
It's quite nice they had two each. No one sort of won. It was a beep draw, wasn't it?
Talking of
draw.
Pop music... Of course, we were... Bob Dylan just got
the Nobel Prize for Literature.
Get another prize! I won the Nobel Prize! I'll do some eyes! They're telling lies!
I actually think that's a farce. I'm not having it.
Right, really, why?
I'm just not having it. He doesn't write literature.
No.
He writes words to go with music.
Yeah, that seems like a very snobby attitude. I mean, what's the difference? There's bad poems and good lyrics, surely.
No, but you don't. You read in silence. Literature's to be communicated in silence. Surely.
What about the spoken word? What if someone does a reading? What about Shakespeare?
Shakespeare's playwright, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's no kind of literature, is it?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just not having it. I really like Bob Dylan, but I think it's just. I also think it's weird to give him it way after he's done anything decent.
Yeah, that's the bit I don't like, is the fact that it's kind of, oh no, we're really hip. It reminds me of when, do you know that Michelle Pfeiffer film Dangerous Minds?
Yes.
In the book, or whatever, is it a book, or is it a true story? I don't know. In the source material, the teacher got through to these really rough kids by teaching them literature through the medium of
rap.
Hip-hop
lyrics.
Serious. And in the film, they change it to Bob Dylan.
Oh,
it's just the most sad old man thing to do.
Yeah, that's really sad. Of course, that quick discussion there probably cuts to the heart of why you like listening to music when you run and I don't.
Yeah. Because
so,
you think
that.
Music is for people who aren't as good as you.
No, not at all. It's not a snobby thing at all. I see it as different things.
Yeah.
Different. It's all expression, but it's different things.
Well, it's interesting, talking of being on Steve Lemack, the album that they were reviewing is Kate Tempest's new album.
Right.
And Kate Tempest is a poet. She identifies as a poet.
Yeah.
A spoken word performer, a live poet.
Right.
And she makes poetry with music. I think someone else on the show was saying, oh, I don't know if it always needs music or there's a discussion to be had. But it's definitely poetry. and the music is good, and then sometimes in performance, it turns into rap. Of course it does.
Yeah.
And, you know, ultimately, there are no rules, right? But I'm not sure that was the Nobel people's thinking.
Yeah.
It's weird. There are no rules. Let's reward this old guy.
They say his literature stands up without the music.
Yeah.
Who's reading it without the music? No, it's experiencing it without the music.
No, that's not true. It's in books. It's studied in academia, you know. I've got a book of Jarvis Cocker's lyrics, and he said in the beginning of that,
yeah,
I'm not a poet. And I got cross. I thought, yes, you are. So, you know, same thing the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought he was a little bit, as you say, old bloke's trying to be modern. He just didn't quite ring true with me.
Yeah. And also, I thought to myself,
I want you so bad. And then it was hilarious because there's a bloke on Five Live. I really like, what's his name, Libsy on Live on Radio 5 Live in the afternoon.
He doesn't play any music. It's 5 Live. It's talking.
Bigging up the...
It's not music.
Bigging up the Bob Dylan thing.
Yep.
Never listened to Bob Dylan. he had to confess after about an hour, I've never listened to any Bob Dylan. This is really making me want to listen to Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... Come on, mate. You got to... I can't stress enough how much I love his music.
Yeah.
I think he's
great.
But
I do think... We just crossed the Bulls Pond Road. We're going down into lovely de Beauvoir town. I don't think you... I think that thing about being in silence is... You know, think about where he was coming from. Yes, he was an artist first, right? And then he thought, I'll do folk music. But he didn't come from a folk music community. He said, I'll do folk music because it's cool, it'll be good. But I bet he was at least as inspired by, say, Ginsberg, who in turn was definitely a poet.
Yes.
But he was a performance poet, you know? He was an improviser.
Yeah.
He wouldn't have thought his poems made any sense without him declaiming them somewhere.
Yeah, I don't think Ginsberg was that great a poet.
Oh, no, me neither. I think Bob Dylan's a much better poet.
Yeah.
No, I actually think...
Turn it on his head. Well, I think Ginsberg's a better poet than Bob Dylan.
Oh!
I don't think either of them are great poets.
Are we going to fight?
No.
Talking of...
But good luck to Bob.
Literature. Do you know the story about someone said, Ernest Hemingway, do me a story in 6 words. And he wrote this... baby shoes for sale, never used.
Yeah,
that's
economy.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
But what it's lacking is music.
I thought of it.
Needs a bit of music.
When comedian Silky this morning tweeted, Scotch bonnet, left eye,
right,
kill me. I thought of Hemingway. So, now, I wanted to tell you something, right?
Go on, then.
Around now, I think by the time this goes out, it would be later than that, but we are about to put out the 40th running commentary.
An anniversary of sorts.
Yeah, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. It made me feel old.
I think we should have some sort of year party.
Yeah,
once a year comes, because the start of it was so torturous, wasn't it?
Well, your letter was only the start of it. No, yeah. That's not a good song to sing.
But the with the constant
it was
stops
difficult.
And starts and misrecordings and injuries and illness. And
when we talk about getting into London and, you know, not getting into London, but getting into London.
Yeah.
As in moving towards it and everything. I started to think that's going to be really nice to do this.
A year on.
Another season, you know,
yes.
Like a farmer.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm into
better, fitter, stronger.
Faster than he was before. Stronger. Gentlemen.
I had a profound thought, which I'd like to relate to.
I'd love it if you would.
About about marathoning and what it does and what it gives you. And where to go from it.
Yeah.
You know, you try...
Stop.
You know, you try really hard in the marathon.
Yeah.
And you run really hard and you prepare and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's often something that middle-aged people... do that kind of midlife thing.
Yeah,
it's a kind of cliche, isn't it, the midlife crisis?
Yeah.
Maybe when things are getting a bit tricky in a sort of linear progression at work or something, or they've hit a few bumps or whatever.
Yeah, and when you look at it from a fundraising point of view, it's a way of processing bad things in that
bad
way.
Things, yeah. But that sort of doing the marathon sort of becomes a metaphor for possibility, doesn't it? The idea, if you can do it, on any level, run it or run it well or whatever.
Yep.
It's like, if I can do this, anything is possible.
Yep.
So you do it, and it's great, and you feel good, but instead of, this is just for me,
yep,
instead of applying it to other things, I think the feeling of doing it is so good,
yep,
that you don't want to actually do anything else.
Yeah, yeah,
you just want to do that again better.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It becomes kind of... Do you know what I mean? It becomes I really, really enjoy that sort of...
No, I think... Well,
that, flow thing. Do you know
you've
what
got
I mean?
A Murakami-esque realisation. I thought it was very wise. Slightly depressing, but very wise. I thought these trees in the square were going to be just beautiful and all autumnal, but they're still pretty green. I'd take a picture pretty anyway, green. Right? What do you think?
Yeah, man.
I think it's a Murakami-esque thing where he seems very clear on... You know, the sort of space, focus, physicality, extremity, spirituality of the running experience.
Yeah.
But he doesn't...
The work-life balance.
Though. Yeah, but he doesn't draw any conclusions from it. It's like, I haven't changed, I haven't learned any lessons. It just is.
Yeah.
Interesting what Vassos said as well about that's why he wanted to run a really long way. It was because he felt so... He was just in a bubble of...
Of well-being.
Of well-being for weeks afterwards.
After a long...
After running 100 miles.
And you get that a bit after the marathon, that you get that clarity and kind of deep relaxation, stroke tiredness, but lucid thoughts.
I really believe in up and down. I think, unfortunately, highs always have concurrent lows, you know, just... The marathon felt great, and then midweek I felt really miserable. It's like, well, there you go.
I just felt tired. But then also you had a couple of you had to gig, didn't you? You had gigs and stuff. How was your corporate?
It was really nice.
Oh, that's good.
Doing a comedy set and hosting an awards ceremony, and they were really nice.
Those can be tough.
They really can be, and I really wasn't in the mood. You're right. It was come the Wednesday. I thought, just did a marathon.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the undramatic ending to the story is the gig was actually lovely, but I did think to myself, I can do this. I did a marathon the other day, so it is a simple thing. It's important to remember because it's an achievement.
And also that in terms of like carrying it into your life.
Yeah.
You know, you keep running when it's like 22, 23 miles and you're really tired. And that strength you gain from that, it does carry you with you, doesn't it? You think, I'm a bit tired now in my normal life, but I did that, so I can do this.
Yeah,
that's you're stronger than you think.
Yeah.
That's something, that's a carry away, isn't it?
I think the last time we came through here, like when we came back from Victoria Park through Haggerston, where we are now, we were saying that it's all about that kind of sport thing, the tennis player thing. Well, it's easy to feel great when you're having a good time.
Yeah.
It's winning when you lose it, winning on the back foot. And that's what that's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
The fact that we've been telling everyone how much we enjoyed that marathon, but we weren't running around smiling and singing, going la la la. It's like, and also when you just said, quoted me last night saying, oh, I'm having a drink, I'm loving it. It's like, well, of course you're loving it. It's like the opposites, you know. When you're drinking and it's nice, you think, why did I ever complain about this? It's because you enjoy the drinking while you're drinking. It's only if you drink too much on the night you feel rough later on, but the
forever
next day
enough.
And all the guilt. Whereas running is like the absolute mirror image of that, that you do it and you kind of, in the moment, you don't wildly enjoy it. But the moments before it and after it, you think, I really want to run.
Yes.
Oh, I really enjoyed that run.
But you get that...
What I'm saying is that running is healthier than drinking.
It is healthier than drinking. Or running to the place of drink is always...
Yeah, yeah.
But you get through that. We spoke a little bit about this, the last one, where you get through that thing of being really knackered. And then you do get that elation of coming into the finish.
Yeah.
And you do find a bit of pace and a bit of stupidity and a bit of, like, fun to it. You know, it's like...
Absolutely.
That thing of, like, that you're stronger than you think you are, it's just like... I really like it.
Yeah, yeah. And you need to stretch yourself to find it out.
Yes.
You can never know that in theory. You can only know it in practice.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
I love that video, that David Bowie video, where he says, true artist... You should always put yourself outside your comfort zone. It sounds so true. It's really hard to put into practice in life.
Yeah, I very rarely do that in my stand-up, I must say.
That's right. And also, it's a fine line. Because sometimes, you know, when you're a grown-up and experienced in your work and have skills, sometimes you think, I'm not enjoying this. And that's because... I shouldn't be here.
Yeah, yeah.
And then other times, you're right, you know.
Oh, for a comic, sometimes when you're outside your comfort zone, that's a bit also where everyone else is outside the comfort zone, because you're not getting any laughs.
Yeah.
You're kind of not doing your job, sort of.
That's right. You know, and you get the other way. I think you and I both believe in
in laughter.
Stand up as a pure form, so you do the thing and then the people laugh. But you do get people
do that laughter,
who kind of say, yeah, they didn't really laugh at my art.
But I am better than them, so
yeah,
it's fine.
Exactly. And people do do that and do good stuff, but it's a very different mindset.
To us laugh seekers.
Yeah.
Us drilling for laughs.
Yeah.
Let's see them laugh.
Well, the weird thing...
Let's make them laugh loudly.
You know, in comedy reviewing world, crowd pleaser...
It's pejorative,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think both you and I would be quite keen to please
if
the
you
crowd.
Like someone who just makes you laugh, then go and see Deering. He's like, hello.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Hello.
Sorry, everyone.
Don't you want to laugh? So, yeah.
Laughs are on a graph.
Midlife. This is 40. I am...
So how are you feeling physically?
I don't
feel too bad, actually. I felt very, very tired last night.
Yeah. I'm trying to, you know, keep my hand in and let myself off at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
you definitely don't want to be training too.
I've just been so hungry, so much eating.
Right.
And that's ultimately, that is going to have to end, because we're not supposed to be carb loading anymore, are we? We've just got onto the canal, by the way.
It is meant to stop after the marathon, is that what?
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of people don't get that.
No, well,
they have no carbs before the marathon, then eat loads immediately afterwards.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no training effect to that.
No, I'm aware of that, but it still hasn't. You don't have to pretend to run and then take a picture of you running. Sorry, this sign, I've seen it twice now. Did you see this?
Twos.
This is not... This doesn't sound good. That's not a good advert.
Stick and poke.
Hand poke tattoos. Is someone going to poke me with a stick?
Stick and poke. Gentle, authentic, archaic.
Yeah. What technique would you like these tattoos done in? Archaic, please.
I'm going to stick and poke it.
Before we discovered germs?
Yes.
Poke them into me with a stick.
So can you relate to that at all, the idea of, like, it just makes you want to experience it? The marathon better,
yeah,
sort of thing.
I don't know. I
don't know whether it's better, but just that sort of that feeling that you get when it's hard, but you're running as well as you can, and that flow thing.
Yeah,
where maximum effort meets kind of, you're just in that zone that you only get near the end of a marathon.
Yeah, yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know if I do want to visit that zone. I mean, I do want to do more marathons. So I do, you know. I feel more out of place than that. I think that you're the born runner here. I'm the interloper. I just think that my
careful
innate speed is a red herring, you know. And speed and distance, and just got them. And that's great, but I'm just out for a run listening to some music, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of got out of hand.
Really?
Yeah, but I love that. I do love that. But I don't sort of rate it in terms of... Before, I think even when I'm trying to do a fast marathon, I suppose I'm trying to better myself and compete with myself. But also, there is an element of me saying, yeah, the faster I do it, the faster I'll be finished.
Oh, yeah, well, totally. No, but that's in my mind as well, of course.
Yeah.
I mean... Everyone's just running for that overwhelming relief when they can stop.
Yeah.
So the faster you do it, the quicker
that's
the rate.
Runner, you know, the runner who loves running the most and runs the furthest is still trying to get to the bit where they're not running anymore.
Yeah, totally. No, I suppose because the last couple of marathons I felt better than previous in terms of like hitting the wall and stuff. The fade has been slower.
Yeah.
There's been less of a fade. I felt stronger.
Yeah.
So I'm quite keen just to see.
Now you're really in control of your run, aren't you?
Well, it's sort of. I'm still falling apart a bit, but it's getting later and later.
Yeah.
When I start to disintegrate.
Yeah, it's because it's hard.
Yeah.
Rather than because you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, so I'd like to see if I can really race a full marathon without any kind of fade away, you know.
Yeah.
But obviously that's tough.
Yeah, and you
don't got to train a lot for that.
Yeah, and you don't want to get to the end and think, yeah, that was easy, because you haven't used enough.
Yeah.
So. But yeah.
But
I'm
now's
looking
the time for just chilling.
I want this. I want to get back to real life, you know.
Yeah.
I want to be running and exercising up to spec, not eating too much. I have to say, very pleased with the vegan marathon though.
Good.
That's my first fit vegan marathon.
Right.
So I didn't start eating vegan till after Berlin last year.
Yeah.
And then...
because I wouldn't serve you any food on the plane.
Let's not get talking about that plane. Damn you, British Airways. I can't believe you're serving the next customer. You haven't finished dealing with me.
I'll tell you what, I'm fine to...
I'm over it, have you noticed?
Yeah, oh yeah. That's well gone. I'm
but
fine.
Yeah, no, before you tell me about this flying,
yeah,
that's my first vegan one. Fit, you know, dismissing London because of me coming back after my rib crack. And felt great, and that's the first good one. First one I've ever run without carb gels.
Yeah, right.
Better than ever before, you know.
Yeah. So you didn't have any gels.
I had 3 Starburst.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
And they worked. I needed them.
Yeah.
You know, I was able to identify the low blood sugar moment. Have a sweet.
It really does help, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Having something.
So, sorry, where are you flying? What's this plane story?
Well, just I'm going to. It's not really a story. It's just. It's more of a complete boast off, really.
Good.
Which everyone needs every now and again, just
oh,
throwing
yeah, no,
out.
I know where you're going. Where are you going? Come on, come on.
Well, I'm flying to Auckland tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I'm only going on blooming first class Emirates.
Ooh.
Which is a real.
What a ball
it's a real pain. Just too much space.
Yeah, yeah.
Stop just feeding me
I don't
whatever
want
I want.
My drink in a glass.
I've had enough. Stop giving me Dom Perignon. It's boring. Do you know what I mean? Tedious, tedious attention.
Oh, we have nothing but sympathy for you.
No, it's one of the High Life McIntyre perks.
Yeah.
Because he's in first class, you want to mate with him.
Yeah.
So you end up there, it's hilarious.
And also, hilarious. He'll be able to sum the experience up for you in a very witty way at the end.
Yeah, it'll be a routine.
I went business class, not first. Business class
yeah.
to Buenos Aires.
Nice.
For, you know, for to wipe out.
Yeah.
And, hey, hi. How are you doing? Good to see you.
Always running.
Oh, well, no, I'm going to take running. A picture. What are you taking pictures
careful,
for?
Careful.
Nice. Very good. Well, sorry to disturb. Right. Can I take a picture if you're doing this under the bridge? I'll take a picture if you're taking a picture. There you go. Look, it's all happening under the bridge. Look at that.
Nice. Like
yeah,
it.
I've got a great excuse to stop as well. Nice to see you.
Take care, love. Sorry.
That's my friend Leslie. She's available to do headshots for actors if you want them.
Like it.
And then
the
she'll
canal.
Take your picture and just shove you in the canal when she's
done. She went to Brennan's Airways with total wipeout on business.
Yeah, and you know, you can get the bed all the way down. And and
nice
I didn't, on
the
way, I didn't get in my pyjamas.
Right.
I've always regretted that.
Yeah.
So I thought I learnt from it and got in my pyjamas and got into bed on the way home. But if that's the only time I fly that quality... I missed out on half of it, you know?
Yeah, the sleeping's a big part. I mean, the first time I flew first class, it's always been with McIntyre, because obviously yeah. I've never been able to afford it myself.
Yeah.
We're flying...
And if he didn't fly first class, you'd be ashamed, wouldn't it? I mean...
Well, he just would never
do it. He's in a position where...
Yeah. Yeah. So we're coming back from South Africa, and it had been a really... It had been great, but it had been really
stressful.
To be fair,
I was in business class when I came back from Berlin. It was only because it was the only seat that I had left. And I didn't get any food.
Right.
And it cost me £500 I didn't have.
Cheers, mate. Thanks for Berlin. Thank you. Thank you for Berlin.
Damn you! So, sorry.
So I'm on the way back from South Africa after a stressful, but ultimately successful tour. Time to wind down.
Yeah.
Unlimited booze.
Yeah.
Which is unlimited. And most people who travel on first class just don't partake fulsomely of that.
No, that's right.
And that's the reason that they're flying first class. Because they're not idiot lushes like I am.
Yeah.
That's how you get there, by focusing. They're all moisturising and you know, apping themselves into work things or whatever.
Oh, look, see, that's the kind of red leaf I was talking about. That's a Virginia creeper. Look at that. We'll try and get it to go past. Look at that.
Very nice.
Oh, look at the texture. Oh. So, yeah. Now, we would all have all the drinks. And I used to think, oh, yeah, help me settle, help you sleep. Alcohol doesn't help you do anything.
It doesn't, no.
It helps you feel rough.
But it resulted in me singing Frank Sinatra songs loudly in first class. And also...
You did it your way.
And also try to pretend...
They're not poetry, though, are they?
No, they're not. They're other people's songs, aren't they? And also trying... to pretend that I wasn't that drunk yeah. in order to get more booze.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there is a crossover point where they look at you and think, we have to stop this, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was dancing on that precipice. I got Sinatra and booze.
I got an Empire magazine getting on a plane once, and it came with a free poster.
Yeah.
And I put it up by our seat because we had the bit by the wall. And the steward came and took it down. This is all before we'd taken off. And as a result, me and the two comedians I was with didn't get served more than one drink.
Oh, my goodness. What a shame.
I just put the poster up. I thought it'd be fun for everyone. Oh, damn it.
Damn you. But no, booze on the plane never worked.
But
dehydration.
Well, that was the beginning, wasn't it? Do you remember coming home from that cruise? Going back to when we started out this thing. We were running on the cruise, on the machine, saying, feel really good.
Getting
my
fit.
Pre-training.
Our pre-marathon training, yeah.
Just become eating vegan, feel really clean. This is great.
Things are going well. Yeah. Connecting with the pensioners on board Thompson's cruises.
Even though these old people seem full of hate, I'm sure that could never have any effect on the future of Britain.
Their hate was actually driving the dynamo to the running machine, wasn't it? It was fueled entirely by their
hate. That's right.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's he doing?
He's pushing the boat out. He's literally. Whoa! Oh, he's literally pushing the boat.
Need any help, or is it all good? Really? So we're on the canal, and this guy's grounded his narrowboat, and I'm attempting to help, and hoping I won't get catapulted into the canal. Nothing is happening. Is there? Trying to lift it up with this post. Yeah, it's going over. Oh, it's come. Something's come loose. Is that good?
Has it worked out?
That's good. Not only have we saved the day, but I didn't fall in the canal.
You proved useful. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
you've had a useful moment.
I feel like a real person.
It's almost manual labour, mate.
It was almost.
That's great.
Okay. And that's all right, yeah? No trouble at all. Oh, of course, right. That's heavier. I just need to take your picture so that our listeners can see what happens. Sorry, here comes another runner. There you go. I'm happy because of my assistance.
Take care, mate.
Have a good day. Nice to meet you. Yeah, so...
I like this new direction running commentary. Just the canal people. We just hang around the canal helping people.
Yeah. We're like really, that. Really low-level superheroes. What was he? Could he fly?
No.
Did he save you from burning building? No. He kind of pressed down hard on a metal post.
He pushed stuff away.
Did he have a weakness? He was vegan.
That was a lovely little episode.
Excellent. We're on these running machines.
Yeah, feeling fit.
Thinking,
pre-Christmas.
As soon as we've left this boat, we'll never have to think about these people again.
Yeah.
But then on the plane home, I asked for more and more tiny bottles of red wine. And then I kind of went into a hangover while still drinking.
While still drinking, yes.
And not having been asleep at any
point. And this is on our way back from sort of Barbados, isn't it? So it's quite a long flight, isn't it?
That's right.
And also, let it be known, you're in shorts and sandals.
Yes, yes. Coming into London in December.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
To me, the alarm bells are ringing then.
Yeah. And, but I felt, even though I was going to come off the canal here,
okay.
You know, we've done enough helping for today.
Yeah.
Unless you can see anyone else who needs assistance down at Angel Basin. Woo. Do you need help up those stairs, Paul?
Just give us a shout. No, I'm fine. Feeling okay, man.
So, yeah, so I thought, I'm hungover, but I feel a bit rough. And then that was the beginning of the terrible cold with the rib crack in the middle.
A real run of bad luck and illness. And
really, didn't feel better about it for another 4 months.
Ages, yeah.
Not till we were well up and running with this, anyway. And also, not to get too deep into it, but in the spring, as I began to feel better, was the worst time with me.
With your dad?
With my dad and my son, getting my dad in a new nursing home and out of hospital and getting my son into a new school.
Yeah.
So.
Loads going on.
So, January, February, March, this in 2017 could be nicer.
And it's quite a. It's a confrontational time of year anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Because the year's just started, you're looking for like what the shape of the year's going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
And the shape of your year was, I've got a cracked rib and I'm ill and there's loads kicking off.
Yeah, exactly.
That's tough.
I need to see my dad. It was his birthday the other day.
Yeah.
And I couldn't go because I had a little cold then. I was fine, but you can't go.
You can't risk it.
Where old people and babies are when you've got a cold. So I haven't seen him, but I will. And it's the Parkinson's Shape with Laughter at the Comedy Store on Monday, so that'll be good.
That'll be great, yeah. Who's on?
I think listeners might remember, in fact, they might have bought tickets and helped it sell out.
So, yeah.
Alan Davis and Gary Godleman, Nathan Caton, Noise Next Door, Dominic Holland.
Nice bill.
Yeah.
Funny people.
Nice bill, yeah, he's on as well. He's only doing a short set.
And an open spot.
Nice bill. So, yeah.
But the year, it's a funny, again, now that we've finished the marathon, it's like, we've still got the end of year, isn't it? So fun, there's another little pocket here.
Yeah, yeah.
October, November, December, isn't
hey,
it?
Hey, don't forget the Spooky Sprint.
I'm looking forward to the Spooky Sprint.
Also, Spooky Sprint, you can sign up for it, but also you can do it on the day. You can enter on the day, guys.
So that's in, so, we're doing it in Nottingham, aren't we?
Yeah, it's in Nottingham. It's at the Stately Home where they film Batman Begins.
Right.
And The Dark Knight. And
what is it exactly?
It's 6 o'clock on the 29th of October. And it's a 10K. I think it's 2 laps of a 5K course.
Right.
And you do it, and it's getting, well, they say it'll start to get dark, but it'll be dark, won't it? 6 o'clock. The day before the clocks go back.
So it's spooky. Is it fancy dress?
Well, it can be.
Is it Halloween-y,
can
spooky
be.
Kind of? It's after Halloween, isn't it?
Yeah, you're not allowed to be
wear
a fancy
clowns.
Dress in any way that's going to... Yeah, I thought I'd wear a scary clown mask and carry a pretend knife. Well, see any negatives here?
What's happening with that? To be fair, I haven't seen any. So...
Yeah.
Probably for the best.
Yeah, I think... The kids are talking about that. That's the thing. It's a kid's thing. It's a kid's game.
Right.
I mean, the kids and teenagers game. It's got out of hand. And the trouble is, the kids love it.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming home from school saying, they're all talking about the scary clown, the killer clowns. And I think it's hard for them not to convince themselves that somewhere at the back of it, there's an actual killer clown. I think what you said the other day is true.
To realise that
sooner or later, someone dressed up as a clown is going to get badly beaten up.
Oh, yeah, they will without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah.
But what?
I just think it's sad because people wearing scary clown masks and hanging around in the dark are making it hard for
real clowns.
Decent professional clowns to hang around being scary in the dark.
And they've also lost touch with the original purpose of clowning.
Yeah, yeah. Which is to terrify
people,
kids in their own homes.
People! To blow whistles and busk and slapstick. So we're scuttling along up a street.
Yes, we've just come past the screen on the green where the Halloween showing is Rosemary's Baby. That would be good. Do love the screen on the green. So if you're not in Nottingham running the Spooky Sprint, you could be in London
watching Rosemary's Baby.
Or you could watch...
I'm actually driving all the way up to Nottingham for that spooky spread.
You could watch Rosemary's Baby while she goes to the cinema.
Take Rosemary's
Baby. So you're coming up specially, that's nice.
I don't even have a gig. I'm taking the night off to do the spooky spread.
I'm coming down from Manchester and then going back to do my gig.
To do your gigs, yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. You say that. Yeah, well, we should make a little festival of running around then. Get some other stuff we want to do then. And that will give us some running to do.
It's nice to do
between now and Christmas and
nice to do some different little events, yeah.
Do you know who I'd like to interview on our runs?
Who?
Jo Wiley.
Does she run?
She likes to run.
Does she really?
She did some record run for Sport Relief, didn't she? She was running on a running machine for 24 hours or something.
Wow.
Oh, I thought of Susie Chan when we did the marathon. It's the first time, obviously, one's run that far since we interviewed her.
Yeah.
And I remember that she ran 70 miles on a running machine. That's in 12 hours or whatever.
I just can't imagine what that must be like.
I don't know why.
So dull.
I'm just amazed that she's
difficult.
Still sane. That's very, very impressive.
Not only sane, she remains chirpy.
Yeah, although I haven't seen her clown mask anywhere, and she does disappear for a couple of hours a night.
Susie Chan, the chirpy clown. Ultra clown.
So if something bad has happened in the Killer Clown news story since we recorded this podcast, we apologise for our flippant remarks.
Are we going to get old?
I've totally gone the wrong way. That's okay.
I kind of realised we're travelling on an unusual route.
Yeah, I got some time.
We're just basically running down the high street.
Yeah, we're running
this
up the street
we rarely do.
And I was meant to take us up at Essex Road to the New River. Sorry about that, everyone.
We just got lost in clown chat.
Yeah. I was still high from rescuing the hipster.
That was a great moment. Great run compod moment. So we're going to get Ray with him, aren't we? Sophie Ray with him.
Yes.
For a chat.
I hopefully do a trail run with her and Susie Chan. I mean, don't think that counts as trailing it because we haven't arranged it yet, but it's on the cards. And if you are following us, but don't follow us on Twitter. If you don't do Twitter, fair enough, but if you do, get on Twitter, recommend us on Twitter. I'd like to, my quest is to double our Twitter following. Because not everyone's doing that, and it's a nice place to share, you know, photos and stuff about running.
We feel fairly big on Facebook, don't we?
Yeah, there's a good community over there.
But there's no getting
around
it.
And there are a fair few of you on Twitter. It's always nice to talk to you, but there could be more.
Yeah.
And it's a good place for it. So let's do that. I need to catch up. There's loads of photos from the runs. Those of you in particular who haven't seen them in the enriched podcast form.
Have they sent you the Yorkshire Marathon photos?
Well, did you see that I was the...
saw that you were part of the publicity.
Yeah.
That was a great photo.
And it was out before, like, that night before I went to bed.
That was a great
they
photo.
They said, do you want to sign up for next year? So, why?
That was early stages in the race, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's just down past the Minster, must be about a mile and a half in.
Yeah.
Looking good.
Looking good, feeling good.
So pleased with that. And... yeah, but the actual official ones, you know, there's some algorithm that automates them.
Between them everyone else wearing the number 7 or something, aren't you?
That's right. There's loads of pictures of someone wearing number 6.
Yeah.
And I said, I'm not a number.
Yeah.
I'm a free man. So
it's just me looking tired, really. You've got an internal journey that's like full of joy and sort of breaking barriers and boundaries and flow.
Yeah.
And then you just see this sort of balding, thin northern bloke grimacing.
Yeah.
It's like,
all with right, me, I'm able to say that picture's not of me, but with you, it is you.
Yeah.
The funny thing with me is, in that situation and talking about me and clowns, is that where you grimace, I do grin. I run with a smile on my face.
Yeah.
I'm a very smiley man. It took me a long time to realise this.
Send in the clown.
I do that serious look in the mirror like people, you know, like young women doing selfies.
Yeah. Like a slightly pouty.
A woman in their 20s Facebook profile picture. That's what I thought I looked like till I was about 40. And then I realised what I actually look like. So we're just crossing the road, Canterbury Road.
Isn't it good?
To get to the New River where I should have done Morning Magpie.
Send
There's one
the
magpie
clowns.
On a post outside the pub. It looks pretty sinister. See it? Da-da. Oh, no, there's two.
There are two.
Warning of the Magpie. That's brilliant. I'm getting them. Sorry, I keep... Oh, it's just flown away.
Two for luck.
Yeah, two for joy. Da-da-da. So, I do think... It makes it easier to get those photos, but first time I did a marathon, I really wanted the photos, and now, yeah, they're often terrible, aren't they?
I'm not that bothered about the photos.
It's really bad. Well, the other thing is I wanted it for the record, but...
I'd like it if there's photos from around the course, but it felt like just right near the end.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
And like you say, it is the mental photos you take are better.
Yeah.
Because you're seeing... The true, you know, it gets quite trippy. You're seeing what it looks like, and you're seeing the kind of truth of the thing.
Yeah.
So, having said that, have you got any great photos? Do get in touch.
The photos taken whilst running are great. Some photos of you running can be great.
Yeah. But ultimately, they do remind you who you are. What you just said just then reminded me. I saw Billy Joel talking about that, and he said, you know, you go to. The studio.
Yeah.
And you've got this great song and you lay it down and you play the music part and you get behind the mixing desk and you're putting it together and it starts to sound like an album. And you think, wow, I'm a music star. And then if you're proper enough, you go and you make this pop video and you think, now I feel like a film star because the director's saying this and I'm coming down these steps.
Yeah.
And I, you know, the camera's rolling. And then you get home and it comes on TV and you just suddenly remember... Just this little guy.
Balding.
This little old bloke. What does he think he's doing? It was quite refreshing to hear that perspective.
He's great, old Billy Joel. Yeah. I love him.
I often think of him, you know, and one doesn't like to be too cynical, but when people, it's really nice when you have a gig and someone comes up and says, you know, you should be... global megastar because of that great show.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's nice, it's flattering and everything. But these days, whenever anyone says anything like that, I always think of his lyric in the Piano Man. I say, man, what are you doing here? About the Piano Man singing in the bar.
It's a song.
That's Billy Joel, not Bob Dylan.
He gives me my drinks for free. And he's talking to Davey, he's still in the Navy. And probably will be. Da, 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 da. Thank you,
my
Billy.
My music sounds like a carousel, and the microphone smells like a beer. What lyrics? That is poetry, isn't it? That is poetry, isn't it, Paul? Isn't it?
It's lyrics to be set to music. But great. I love him, old Billy.
Yeah. It's interesting what you're saying about, well, saying about Frank Sinatra. There's a real purity to that. To really expressing yourself and being famous and a global superstar without ever writing a word or a note.
Yeah, he was
so
great.
All he had was the songs to invest, and he didn't do any melismatics. It was none of the X Factor. He never did any of that.
He was,
he just made it sound good.
Yeah, consistently real, wasn't he? Authentic in the tune he was singing.
Yeah, and he liked a story.
At every stage
song.
In
he liked
career,
to tell it.
Yeah,
you know, but it would be. It's like an actor.
Yeah, he was.
With a script.
He was a good actor, wasn't he? Yeah.
And even when he was singing, he was acting.
He did well, Frank.
And even though they were lyrics, they were poetry, weren't they?
He did well, Frank.
He's very good. There's someone up ahead with a baby. I really don't want to give him a fright.
No.
They might throw it into the river.
No, she's fine. She's serious.
That would be a shame. We should have taken our clown masks off.
Yeah, yeah. In retrospect, that was an error.
The funny thing, though, with you and me, Paul, we can never take our clown masks off because our faces are our masks.
Standing clown.
And that's true.
Where are the clowns?
They're in the bushes.
They're running through Highbury.
As I think we're... It's that crossover, the ways in which we're similar, the ways in which we're different. I think both you and I, ultimately, are probably comedians, because you have slightly ridiculous faces.
I think there's something to be said for that. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. There's also, I think, in terms of, like, runners and comedians, that kind of slight outsidery thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know when you chat to runners?
And it's a right laugh, and they're all great and stuff, but then it's that sort of individual...
Yes.
They're quite singular, aren't they? It's quite an unusual thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that
which makes comedies unusual, but running is as well, isn't it?
Just yeah, and it's a bit like a mild obsession. Like, you know, it's a bit train spottery.
Yeah.
You want a subculture.
Yeah.
Like being a record collector.
But just, it's that thing of, like, it's really nice to go on your own to do a mass event and be all together.
Yeah.
It's both in one, isn't it, that experience? At the end of a marathon, everyone's chatting. And they're just all quite different and ornery and kind of slightly weird and kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
Because what they've chosen to do is undoubtedly unusual.
Yeah, it's a demographic, isn't it?
Yeah, totally.
On the one hand, it's a complete subculture. There's a huge swathe of society who would never be there.
Absolutely.
But then within that...
Who think you're insane for being...
All of life is there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I do think that, in a way, when you go, particularly going to the Yorkshire Marathon, you're tapping into the community of people who would identify as runners. And I think there's an even more, there's a silent community now, which is bigger than that, of people saying, I'm not really a runner. Kind of people who run because it's what people do now.
Right.
But they don't think of themselves as runners. They think of that as something that someone else does. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was thinking that Yorkshire, just the way that the location of the marathon, it's a simple point, but mirrors the place that it's at. So Yorkshire, there's less people around.
Yeah.
But I did find running it really friendly.
Yeah.
And because there's less people, you get deeper connections with the people around you during the race.
Yeah.
Because there's less of them.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit like living in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
But London... It's fantastic and amazing, and so many people are quite anonymous.
Yeah.
People streaming past you.
Do you think
loads of information all the time.
But do you think that Yorkshire people are as friendly as they think they are?
I think they are, yeah.
I thought you would.
But you obviously don't.
Not really.
Yeah.
I think that because that friendliness often expresses itself as leeriness, you know?
Right.
It's a bit kind of...
Give us an example.
Well, people can be abrupt. They can kind of think you're stupid.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that you got on with that taxi driver better than I did. I feel like it's the kind of place where people will hold my accent against me. I think that people are gregarious
in
Yorkshire, and they mistake all gregariousness for friendliness.
There's a kind of no-nonsense-ness to the gregariousness sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes being friendly needs a bit of love, needs a bit of nuance.
Yeah.
Sorry, Yorkshire, I'm just discussing the point.
But having said that Yorkshire... cabby. He did drive us all the way in. He got us as close as he possibly could.
Yeah, yeah.
To the race.
Yeah, well that...
And he could have turned back before.
Yeah, that was his job, I think.
No, but you know what I'm saying? A lot of people have knocked us back. And he took us right in.
That's true. It looked like we weren't going to get there for a minute.
And then there was that really lovely one met in the massage place. She came in a bit late than us, really stiff and stretchy.
Yeah.
Just classic. You know, I've had a really...
Everyone knows lovely.
I've had a really tough run. I love this.
But I think also...
Really tough.
Yeah, whether what I say is accurate or not, you've got to assume that it's possible that my perspective is different, because you're from there.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
And I don't mean your perspective. I don't mean that's because you love it. I mean they're more welcoming to you.
Yeah, maybe. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. You know, because it's not necessarily a hotbed of welcome for other folk.
Yes.
God, I'm going to be out in trouble with our listeners from Yorkshire. Hi, guys. Really enjoyed the marathon, and I love you all. Thanks for just an interesting discussion. Let's change the subject. So we're nearly back in the Newington Green. I don't know how far we've gone. Sorry, I went the wrong way in the middle there. But it's... How are you feeling? I thought we went nicely slow when we did our first recovery run. We ran like 11-minute miles.
Feels a little bit more natural.
And it felt fine. I think we've probably gone a bit faster without trying today. And then... I mean, what is your regular... You'll be running in Australia, of course.
Maybe a little bit, yeah. Maybe a little bit.
First class running, though. So you run whilst eating foie gras.
It'll be just gradual... Just little runs.
You run, but a butler runs along behind you.
Yeah, probably a bit of treadmill stuff. And also, you'll have the jet lag, won't you?
Yeah.
A lot of jet lag.
Where are you going in Australia?
We're going to Auckland first.
Oh, that's not in Australia at all, sorry.
And then we're doing...
Sorry, New Zealand. God, I've offended New Zealand and Yorkshire now.
Then we're doing Melbourne, Perth.
Yeah.
Sydney. And... Melbourne, Perth. Sydney and Brisbane.
Well, I've run in Perth. You have to get up and run in that park at the top of the hill. It's really nice.
I think I've run
Kings Park
actually,
or something.
Yeah.
Here we go. Back to Newington grid stop.
Easy. Let's not get run over.
Oh, he's gone. Ooh. He's gone. We often... let me get you and Mary, because... This is so near the beginning of the run, we never stop for it. Stand by Mary Wollstonecroft. Right on, sisters. You won't get any... Yeah. The original feminist.
Yeah.
And always. There she is. Did you hear Michelle Obama?
She was great, wasn't she?
That's a good speech.
She's fantastic, yeah. She's lovely.
Yeah. It's just what she's she said. Strong, it's just she? It's just offensive to everyone, yeah. what he was doing. You know,
yeah,
it's not
just strong,
all right. There's no context. It's not just chat. It's not political. It's the speech and behaviour of someone who is doing wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she's a strong presence, isn't she? She's great.
Yeah. Very good. And I've always had a lovely welcome every time I've been in the Yorkshire. It's my favourite county. And I look forward to... Next time I do the Yorkshire Marathon, someone's going to trip me up.
Oh, they hell. Oh, they hell. That was lovely.
Yeah.
No, she was great, that woman. She was like... She's like, everyone kept just shouting my name and I just kept crying. I was just crying.
I cried quite lovely. A lot at the end of the Bake Off this week. I think because it was partly post-marathon and partly, you know, because I'm a big wuss. And because I know it's the last series.
Yeah, the Bake Off's been great, hasn't it?
Would
They're
you like
all great, this series, actually.
I'm going to show you how far we've gone and how fast we went.
What, about 4 miles?
Yeah, we've been running...
Oh, nearly five.
Just under five, 50 minutes, so 10-minute miles.
Just 10-minute miles, that's great. Recovery runs, lovely. Gorgeous.
If you'd like to discuss any of the issues raised, or you need the Canalside heroes to come your way...
Yeah, give us a shout.
Get in touch with us on any, Twitter, Facebook, and...
Any accommodation needs.
Happy 40th running commentary, and...
Great.
Awesome. Speak to you soon. With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered. Get. 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 Get.